Hi everyone and welcome to the Academy podcast where we talk all things digital and e-learning. I'm Sam and I work in the Academy team and today we're joined by Alistair Black, Digital Assessment Manager, and we will be discussing all things Solar, what it is and how it's evolved and the benefits and challenges of embracing digital assessment. Hi Alistair, thank you for joining us on the podcast.
Hi, thanks Sam, thanks to be here.
So for listeners who aren't familiar with Solar, how would you describe it in one sentence?
Solar is SQA's digital assessment platform, enabling learners to sit assessments across a broad range of qualifications using a computer or other digital device.
Okay, very concise, I like it. What are some of the biggest benefits and obstacles to moving towards digital assessments, would you say?
Okay, I guess as a digital assessment manager, you know, there's plenty of benefits I think there are to digital assessment. It certainly offers a more richer experience or an interactive experience for candidates. You know, we can include things, multimedia elements, you know, video, audio, even going into things like virtual reality and simulation, things like that. So it kind of opens up the potential to assess in new and different ways that you just can't do on paper. Accessibility is a big feature. There's lots of accessible features built into Solar and digital assessment. So you can customize color, you can change the size, zoom in and out, and use assistive technology, which is your kind of native to digital assessment. There's also automatic marking of content. So it can provide instant feedback to candidates when they sit an assessment and results. And obviously it eliminates the burden of doing human marking as well. And on a similar vein, you can get a lot of item and assessments data out of the system as well. So it can automatically generate things like pass rates and how difficult and easy questions are. So that can help inform the development of new content or whether you need to make revisions to existing content. And I think more generally, it sort of increasingly reflects, you know, the teaching and learning experience that candidates are going through now. More and more centres have invested in technology in the sort of classroom or lecture theatre. So, you know, doing a digital assessment at the end of your course makes more sense. And I guess more generally, just in life, in and out the workplace, we're all using technology here right now with our laptops and things. So having a digital assessment, I think, more accurately reflects the kind of, you know, the life that we lead these days, technology-focused life. In terms of obstacles, there are some. The digital divide is still there in terms of, you know, making sure, obviously, if you're doing digital assessment, you want to make sure all learners have got access to devices. And I don't think that's the case across the board. There's also the kind of digital literacy piece. You know, I think, again, we assume lots of learners are familiar with digital devices, but that's maybe not all the case. So you want to make sure they've got the skills to use a digital device. We're not trying to assess their ability to use a digital device. So we've got to make sure they've got the literacy to do that. I think there's also a kind of a mindset thing in terms of developing digital assessments. So obviously a lot of people are very familiar with delivering paper-based assessments and writing paper-based assessments. Yep. They're a very tried and trusted method, but you know, we want to change mindsets and that's kind of difficult sometimes in terms of thinking about digital. For some people, there's also a perception of risk as well. You know, what happens if your laptop fails when you're doing a digital assessment? Kind of risk around or perceived risk that it's easier to cheat when you're doing a digital assessment as well. You access this Google or something like that. So those are things which in some ways are perceptions rather than realities. And it's not like you can't cheat with a paper-based assessment. And it's not like there's things that can't go wrong with paper-based assessment. So, and then there's also just the kind of, we don't just want to make something digital just because you can. You want it to enable assessments to be better and not just kind of replicate what you're doing on paper. So that's sometimes an obstacle in terms of thinking about how you're assessing and not just trying to replicate exactly what you're doing on paper. So yeah, there are obstacles, but I think most of those we can overcome and realise a lot of the benefits that we've got from digital assessment.
Yeah, it's interesting hearing both sides of the coin in terms of the benefits, but also the obstacles, because there's always that kind of slow progress towards technical kind of advancements just because of those kind of concerns, or as you put, like being used to marking and doing exams by paper, but it's not to say like that important piece about you saying about doing things because it has value, I think is the opportunity there to push forward is really clinging on to the fact that there's value in doing it in a different way.
Indeed, and that's the key thing, is we want to make sure that when you move to digital assessment, you're doing it for the right reasons and not just because you can, but also just, you know, making sure that people are comfortable with that and addressing any concerns they have around it and any perceived risks. We want to address those to bring people on the journey when we move to digital assessment.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. It feels like a journey. So I was going to just ask, how has Solar as a service evolved over the years, and how do you think it will evolve in the future?
Okay, so I mean, just my background, so I've been managing Solar for just about 3 years now. But going further back, I mean, we've been using digital assessment within SQA for you know, nearly 20 years now. So it started off as originally being used by colleges, but we've kind of expanded. You know, all centre types are using it now. You've got, you know, schools, training providers, employers, they're all kind of using Solar. The range of qualifications delivered has changed and expanded. I suppose there's still a focus on the sort of STEM subjects, science, technology, engineering and maths, which maybe lend themselves more to digital assessment. But we've got assessments in areas like barbering and hairdressing, lots of health and fitness assessments, dental nursing is quite a big one, pharmacy. So it's not just the kind of the technical subjects you would expect to be digital assessment. We've got a lot of different qualifications on there. As I mentioned, we've been doing digital assessment in SQA for nearly 20 years now, and we've been working with the same supplier all that time as well, Surpass Assessment. They're a kind of leading UK provider of digital assessment platforms, and they're obviously constantly developing their platform as well. So that's changed over the years. The kind of education technology industry, digital assessment industry is big, and obviously as a commercial company, they're constantly developing their platform to stay ahead of the game. We've also just been through, we're just coming to the end of a sort of large-scale transition. The technology on which Solar ran was sort of flash-based, which was faded out a number of years back. So we've been transitioning all the content in Solar from flash to HTML. Now, HTML it's more modern, it's accessible, all that kind of stuff. But flash, the functionality we had in flash was, it was a bit more flexible, so we were able to be a bit more innovative in the past in terms of our assessments. Now, that will possibly come in HTML, but that's been a kind of challenge in terms of transitioning across. And in terms of what we're kind of up to at the point now, we're doing about 10,000 assessments a month, so it's quite big volumes. We've got 600 centres on Solar, so it's kind of well used and very successful platform at the moment. And we're helping to generate income for SQ as well with qualifications like Streetworks and Taxi, which generate us income. One of the final things which I'm just going to mention in terms of how the services changed over the years is the DAS Help Desk. Our digital assessment services help desk. So they support all four of our digital services within our business area, but Solar is the kind of biggest service we've got. And that's been, I suppose, an invaluable frontline support service for our centres and customers using Solar. So that's been a really big improvement in terms of the support for our centres in terms of using Solar. Thinking about going forward, we've been discussing as a team our sort of vision for Solar over the next few years, and there's kind of a number of areas which we're thinking about that it could develop in the future. In terms of the functionality itself, we're wanting to try and integrate Solar a bit more with some of our internal systems, so to help our appointees and our centres and our learners to be able to log in and access Solar. As I mentioned, we're working with our software supplier, Surpass, worked with them over the years, continue to push them to develop their platform. One sort of key thing which I'm very keen to explore is Solar's always been this sort of one platform, but one platform can't do everything, or we don't think it can do everything. So this idea that maybe we invest in other platforms and you bring them under the umbrella of Solar, so we have a sort of multi-platform idea. And also, you know, generative AI is having an impact on assessment already, and will continue to have a big influence on assessment. We certainly think there's lots of benefits there in terms of supporting assessment, developing things, as well as all the risks around AI, you know, helping in assessment. We think there's lots of benefits there that we can realise. And just in terms of areas which we are hoping to expand into as well, there's NQ, national qualifications, your school exams, nothing digital there yet. There's the next gen HN, which are new qualifications in the HN space. We certainly think there's things we've done a couple of solar assessments there, but there's more we can do in that space. There's our contracts, our commercial contracts. Again, more and more of those are going digital, so there's we hope we can support those with solar. And then internationally as well, currently solar is only really used within Scotland and the rest of the UK. Mm-hmm. There's potential to expand to some of our international centres to use solar. And I think the final thing to say is we want to adapt to the future of assessment. You know, assessment doesn't stay still. It changes all the times in terms of what we need to assess. There's lots of things like meta skills and competency-based assessments, and potentially even moving away from this idea of, you know, an exam or end of unit assessment to things like ongoing assessment, assessment over time. There's areas like adaptive assessment, which kind of personalises to the learner's ability. So I think there's all these kind of areas which, you know, the future of assessment will change, and we want solar to adapt and change with the future of assessment as well.
Interesting. There's a lot of ambition there, which is nice to hear, especially as we're in kind of reform indeed. Days and what space we could go into. I want to just pick at the NQ space and just get your thoughts really on how ready do you think Scottish centres are for digital assessments around NQ, because you say there that they're not doing that just now. Yep. So just your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a mixed picture. So the answer is probably partially or somewhat. There's some local authorities who have invested, as I mentioned before, lots of, you know, technology in schools now. So we know that some local authorities have got one-to-one device provision. So their candidates have been given iPads or Chromebooks, maybe some still in Windows. So I think that's there across some local authorities, but maybe not across the board. The infrastructure, you know, in terms of broadband, you know, internet access, again, we kind of think it's kind of across the board, but, you know, there's probably pockets there which isn't as strong as it should be to deliver assessments online. And I think there's probably a different appetite and different mindsets within centres around digital assessment and the way forward there. I was at an Apple Leaders of Education event earlier this year, and there was lots of, you know, engaged centres and local authorities there, and people from these schools that are really on board with using iPads in their schools. You know, I spoke to the head teacher of Larbert High School, and he was very keen to look at adaptive assessment. Scottish Borders, Edinburgh and Glasgow, they all did presentations on, you know, they're demonstrating the transformative power of having iPads in their schools and how that can help change educational outcomes. So I think In those areas, we know that they've got the mindset, they want to move in that direction, but this isn't uniform. You know, that we know that there's other authorities that haven't been able to invest for whatever reasons, and maybe just don't have the same sort of mindset. So it's probably a mixed picture. It is coming. We're planning a small pilot in 2026 with a small number of subjects, and hoping to then expand from there. So as part of that, we're wanting to make sure we engage with centres and learners and to test with them and communicate with them, support them, so we bring them on that journey. So, you know, it's small steps, but we're looking to do that small pilot, and we will try to be engaging with as wide a range of centres as possible to make sure it's not just the ones that are already doing a lot of digital stuff. We're trying to bring on board all the centres there. So, it's a mixed picture, but we're trying to push in that direction.
Yep, that's really interesting. Hoping everyone listening will be really interested and engaged to see how that all works out. I suppose the point we're trying to make here is that there, as you say, a mixed bag, but when it comes to NQ, there's like this certain expectation of consistency.
Indeed.
Because of the nature of the way it works versus other qualifications, kind of on a more, I don't know if ad hoc is the right way to say it, but it would be more kind of individualistic in a sense, whereas NQ is kind of a one-time event each year, and it's just trying to make hopefully.
That's a great point. And, you know, I mentioned before that some of our schools are doing, you know, solar stuff in other areas, but just not the sort of the high stakes NQ exam, and that brings a whole host of additional risks and pressures on it, so it'll be a sort of different thing for them, but it's an area we need to move into. So I think it's coming.
Definitely, and it'll be interesting to see over the years how that does evolve and how it goes, and I'm sure there'll be lots of learning throughout that process as well. Yeah. Do you know any countries that have been progressive in the use of digital assessments in schools and maybe you look to for kind of inspiration?
Yeah, yeah, indeed. We're trying to make sure we do engage with, you know, other centres, other countries across the sort of education sector to find out what they're doing and where there's good practice there. So actually, a few years back, even before I was in post, there was a session which we hosted with an SQA, I think it was with RM, who are another digital assessment provider, mm-hmm. and they were demonstrating what New Zealand and South Australia were doing in the digital assessment space in schools. And again, they were, you know, they were quite a way along that path and had introduced it over a number yep. of years. So they were quite far ahead in terms of introducing digital assessment in their sort of school-based exams. I met with our equivalent in Finland, I think it was earlier this year or last year. They had a very novel approach, and they're naturally now all their sort of senior phase exams in schools are digital. They've actually delivered it via memory sticks. So rather than doing a sort of online digital assessment, they actually distribute memory sticks out to their centres every year. Sure. So it has enabled them to be very progressive in terms of introducing digital assessment. But, you know, logistically, it's still a bit of a challenge for them in terms of getting those memory sticks out every year. But that was a very interesting yeah. approach, and it's enabled them to, you know, like I said, all their senior phase exams are now done digitally. Estonia, we haven't actually met with them in terms of their education system, but I know that they're a very modern, progressive country in terms of digital services yeah. more generally in their education system. And actually, just yesterday, I was at the Digital Scotland event, and their representative from Estonia was presenting on mm-hmm. their kind of digital delivery across, I suppose, across the country there. So we know they're a very modern, progressive country in terms of digital services generally. And I think Denmark are the same. There was a couple of representatives from Denmark at the Digital Scotland event mm-hmm. too. So I think there's lots of examples out there of countries around the world that are doing things in a more digital direction than us. But even closer to home, actually, Wales have been quite progressive in digital assessment. So I've met with WJAC, who are SQA's equivalent in Wales, the awarding body there, several times over the last few months. And they've been doing digital assessment in GCSEs and A-levels for over a decade. So quite far ahead of us in terms of their delivery of digital assessment. And they've been building up over time, a sort of phased-in approach. But they're actually introducing next year some new GCSE qualifications, and they're going to be digital only. So areas like computing science, as you might expect, but other areas like music mm-hmm. and drama, food, nutrition and history, where they're actually introducing a kind of digital-only assessment at the end of the course. And interestingly, the regulator in Wales, Qualification Wales, have been instrumental in sort of pushing them in that direction, modernising assessment and moving towards a digital direction. There's other awarding bodies in England that are looking to pilot in this space as well. So they're probably in a sort of more equivalent space to us where we're looking to pilot. But Wales are certainly mm-hmm. you know, a country we're looking at and kind of hoping to learn from them. I suppose the only other thing to say is, let's not forget Scotland. We haven't done anything yeah. in the sort of NQ high stakes space, but schools, as I kind of mentioned, they're successfully delivering some of our HNVQ qualifications for many years. So they're more schools are moving into delivering qualifications like NPAs and awards. Mm-hmm. So you've got subjects like digital literacies, cybersecurity, esports is a new one, and personal finance. They're all on solar. They're all done digitally, and schools are delivering those. But like I said, still not in the sort of the high stakes end of year exams space. The final thing I would just say as well is we're obviously talking a lot here about the sort of senior phase of secondary school. But actually in primary school, and again, Wales have been quite innovative in this space, but even in Scotland, we've got the Scottish National Standardised Assessments, and they're done digitally. So even in the sort of primary school level, when you have the assessments, I think it's primary 1, primary 4, and primary 7, they're done digitally using a digital assessment platform. So, you know, they're doing it at an early stage in Scotland, Wales, and then you obviously want to, you know, them to continue that journey when it comes to the national qualifications. So there's pockets of what we've been doing in Scotland that is done digitally, but yeah, lots of other examples for other countries around the world who we need to learn from.
Yep, it's interesting to hear those examples, and I suppose the positive to take from that is that, as you say, Scotland, let's not forget Scotland. Scotland is making progress and doing things and kind of embedding that in certain places, but I suppose we're doing it in a careful approach, and
yep.
we have people to look up to, and we know that they're doing it I'm assuming successfully. I'm Absolutely. Sure there's maybe some, so, you know, it's something to aspire to, but it is important when it's in this space to be careful and considered as well. So
indeed. And I think that's why we can learn from Wales, because they've introduced it over time, and they've, you know, for many years they've had, you know, for example, paper-based backups in case of technological failure,
right,
but
yeah.
they're now getting to the point where, because they've been delivering it successfully for so many years digitally, they're now moving to these digital-only qualifications where, you know, there will be no paper backup. So they've kind of taken that careful approach, and we can definitely learn from them and see how they've rolled it out successfully, building up over the years in terms of the number they're delivering and having that backup. But now they're at a point where they're comfortable delivering digitally for high stakes exams, that they feel they can move to digital only. So I think, you know, they're a great contact to have, and they've been very open and honest in terms of discussing with us, so we can learn from them as we move in this space.
That's really good to hear, and I hope people take that away from this conversation, is that, like, we can't, like, as much as we're looking internally to find solutions, there's so much out there we can kind of tap into to help us along the way. A difficult question for you, just around talking about schools in Scotland and following on from our conversation, just around when would you estimate, if you could, when schools in Scotland will all be delivering digital assessments? And optimistic and realistic answers are welcome.
Okay. If I was being optimistic, the pilots we're planning for 2026, you know, it's very small scale. If that goes, you know, I expect it to go successfully. We're planning for success. Mm-hmm. But if it goes successfully and we had, I suppose, a really, really successful rollout, potentially 5 years. I mean, that, you know, that is probably very optimistic. So by 2031.
Okay.
And I suppose it's, going back to the initial point, it's digital assessment where it's going to enhance the assessment and make it better and not just replicate on paper. Mm-hmm. So
yep.
it might be that not every subject can go digital or needs to go digital. But mm-hmm. if we had a really, really successful rollout, maybe within 5 years. But realistically, you know, there's so many other factors that depends on, and a lot of those are out with our control, you know, Scottish government, local authorities, centres, all their kind of readiness for that, the public sector, you know, the budget and resource right now is challenging. So there'd be a lot of things that would have to fall into place for that, you know, that really successful rollout to take place. So I think realistically, maybe a more realistic time horizon would be 10 years. So taking mm-hmm. us up to sort of 2036. But if I was being pessimistic, I might even think I'd be happy if everything was all digital by the time I retire in 20 years' time. You know, it's
okay.
like the slow pace of change, it could take that long, to be honest. It could take that long. But I don't want to be pessimistic. I would like to be optimistic about it. And it's probably the 10-year kind of, that's probably a realistic aim. If we look for that as the kind of the time horizon that we want to be focusing on, then that seems to me like a reasonable aim to get to a point where possible, we're delivering all digital assessment, all exams digitally in the sort of in the NQ space. So yeah, that's what I put my hat on.
Okay. I mean, yeah, so I suppose what we're taking out of this is, like, we're in this for the long haul.
Yeah.
If we're dedicated to making this happen, we can't expect it to be just in a few years' time. It's about sticking with it and just persevering, because we have a vision for where we want to be, but we know there's time involved in making that happen.
Yeah, and indeed, and there's like I said, there's so many factors that they're out with our control. You know, if I had my way, we could do it tomorrow. You know, but we've got to bring everybody on board. We've got to make sure everybody's engaged. Everybody's got the right resources to do it. So there's lots of factors we need to take into account, and that's why I think that this is a kind of long-term project that might take a few years to get us to the point where we want to be.
Yep, and as you say, there's lots of other people and things that need to be involved in terms of that narrative, and other bodies that need to be supportive and all on board with that goal.
Absolutely.
Just if I could ask a bit of a random question, how do you find that collaboration out with SQA in terms of any kind of support you lean on to deliver? Are you finding that challenging, or are you finding everyone's kind of got that same ambition, it's just working out together?
Yeah, I think I think probably everybody does have that same ambition. I suppose if I first talk about Out With Scotland, like I said, WJC in Wales, they've been very supportive. They're obviously ahead of the game with us on this journey, but they've been very open and honest about working with us. I actually met with AQA, one of the English awarding bodies, and they're also very keen. They're kind of in the same space as us. They're looking to pilot in a couple of years' time. So I think they're open to be very collaborative with us. And we've obviously got the same goal, you know. We're all want to deliver digital assessment to improve educational outcomes for candidates across the UK. So I think there is that desire across other awarding bodies to move in that same direction. Closer to home, again, you asked earlier about whether centres are ready for this. It's a mixed picture, but I don't doubt mm-hmm. that everybody is. They want to make assessment and exams the best possible for candidates. So I think everybody's probably got that same goal in mind. And if digital assessment can help candidates achieve better, then we need to move in that direction. So I think it's different local authorities are in different positions in terms of the technology and their ability to do it. But I don't think, I think everybody's probably got the same goal and would... If we can demonstrate how digital assessment can improve outcomes for candidates and more generally in the sort of education space, I don't doubt you're pushing in that same direction. So I think we're probably pushing an open door to a degree. There'll be resistance, as I said.
Yep.
People will have resistance around the risks and the tried and trusted method of paper always works. But you know, I think ultimately the end goal is the same, and I think people will be, if we can present that vision to them, they'll be on board with us and work with us towards it.
Ideal. That's a positive outlook and what I'd hope to have heard, so that's great. Before we wrap up, if you could make sure the listener took away one thing from this conversation, what would you like that to be?
I suppose going back to what I was previously saying there, I think digital assessment can make a difference. I think it can mm-hmm. make a big difference to assessment and the outcomes that learners get. I think if you can improve the assessment experience for a candidate, it gives them a better chance to demonstrate their skills, their knowledge, their understanding of what they've learned in a course. And I certainly think that in most subjects, if not all, you know, digital assessment can make that difference, and it can help candidates to demonstrate their skills in the best way possible and improve the outcomes for them. So we as a team, myself and my team, we've got a vision for Solar to become the sort of default choice for assessment. You know, we've talked for years about digital by default within SQA, but we really want to make that happen and for it to be the default choice when you come to, if you're developing a new qualification, you want to develop assessment digital by default. Yep. You know, we want it to be Solar. So that's sort of key takeaway I want, that it can make a big difference. But I suppose we need support for that, and we need investment as well, which is challenging right now to develop the platform. But we also want people to come with us, to be bold and be willing to take those risks and make that change and support our vision, be visionary, collaborate with us, ultimately, we want to make those changes to modernise and improve assessment for all learners. So I think that's the one takeaway. Come and speak to us. You know, we'll help you develop your assessment, and we certainly think it can make a big difference for our learners. And that's ultimately what everybody in SQA is all about, is making a difference to learners. And I think, you know, like I said, digital assessment can be a big part of that. So we want to bring people with us. So come speak to us, myself or my team, and we'll happily talk you through the process of creating a digital assessment.
Nice. I think that's a positive note to end on. And also, just from listening to you speak and learn more about Solar as we have had this conversation, there's obviously a lot of ambition there and, you know, a pathway that you seem to have carved out that you're trying to expand in this area. Yeah. So just as someone that works at SQA, it would be great to just be able to follow on that journey. So hearing about how yous are developing and what's going on in that space, I think hopefully a lot of people will be interested in it, but I certainly would, to hear how yous are evolving. over periods of time. So
indeed, yeah. And I know I mentioned the sort of vision we've got. I'm going to publish our vision so people can see it and sort of read through it in more detail. And yeah, it's great to have people engaged and involved in it like yourself, yep. And hopefully people can take that away from the podcast as well and talk to us and see us on that journey.
Great. Thank you so much for your time today. And thank you to listeners for tuning into this episode. You can find all episodes on the podcast section of the Academy SharePoint page, but also on the Academy still, if that's where you prefer to go. If you'd like to get involved, please get in touch. And until then, enjoy listening while you work.